I'm in an excited place, not only being a grandparent and married to my lovely wife, but Patty and I, we're tight. We don't have a lot of money. We have a nice home. That's because we sold a big home in California, so we bought a nice home here. But it's not because we're wealthy. But because we live at that level, we do coupons. Is that weird? We don't cut them out of the newspaper. But I buy my gift cards at Kroger when I get 4 times the gas points. I use my American Express on everything to get my Sky Miles. I pay it off fully twice a week. I pay it off. Oh, Trevor, there you are. Trevor, would you wave at us, new dad? Come on. Thank you, Trevor. So Patty and I have been saving Sky Miles and hotel points. And so we just booked, day before yesterday, we booked our flights to London for Patty's birthday using those Sky Miles. And then hotels, we just booked 7 nights with our hotel points. Cost us $402 for the air flight. Isn't that crazy? Yeah, 7 days. Hotels, airline, God is good. I'm telling you. But we're tight because we do coupons. Now you know where we're at. Now we're looking at brochures to take all these little excursions. So we're looking to go to Buckingham Palace. Patty loved that TV series, The Queen, or whatever it was. She thinks, what was it called? The Crown. She thinks her and the Crown are like this. She thinks she's, well, she is royalty, but she thinks she's British royalty now. So we're going to go there. We're going to go to Big Ben. We're going to go to the Windsor Castle. We're going to go to all these places. And we got all these great brochures. But what we didn't find in that brochure was a brochure to the city dump. Can you believe that? It wasn't in there. We didn't find one for the city morgue. We wanted to go there. You guys aren't excited about those trips. The wrecking yard. Well, to tell you the truth, you won't find that in any city. See, those are not places that they advertise. But really, in real life, those are places that we go to a lot. Well, some of us daily. You know, Pastor Paul, I don't go to the morgue daily. Well, just hang on for a minute and we'll talk about that, okay? See, I want us to live a life that's frugal in Christ. I want us to live a life that takes us into great places. Hi, Paul. I haven't talked to you in a long time. I have take you to a place where you have excitement and new adventures. So what I want to do is, if you have those brochures for those 3 places in your life, what I want you to do is discard them today as we talk about them. I want you to do a self-evaluation. You're saying, Pastor Paul, you are weird. No, I'm not weird. I really believe that these are 3 places we go to. I wrote about this when Patty and I were in California. I wrote for a newspaper. And I wrote about this, I think, in 1989 or 1898. And I saw that a couple days ago. I was going through some files, and I saw this message or this article that I wrote. And Tommy asked me just 2 days, well, Tommy thought a week ago that I knew I was preaching until Evelyn called me 2 days ago and said, you're preaching Sunday. And I said, hey, I just read that article, and I think it might be appropriate for us, the church, today. So the brochures. The first one, I think of all the places that we shouldn't go, is the one that visits our personal wrecking yard. It's a place we love to visit. You bear with me. It is a place we love to visit. It's a place where we go to examine the damage that has been done to us over the years. We go there and look at the dents and the scratches and other things that have caused what we wanted compensation for by those that we hold fault for our condition. Let me just regroup that again. We go to the wrecking yard and we look at the dents and the scratches that we blame other people for in our lives, the damage they've done, and we hold them accountable, and we say, we deserve something for this. So often we go back and we remember those people that said something to us or didn't say anything to us, hello? Or those people that broke our hearts, or those people that might have left us or accused us falsely. And we never felt that we were compensated for those things. We as Christians, we shouldn't look for compensation, but we do. We're human too, aren't we? We want to be made right. We don't want false accusations or people whispering behind our backs. We want to be loved and encouraged, but yet the majority of us are wounded. The majority of us, and even those that are home today, you might be home today because you've been wounded by somebody in the church. And we want compensation. So we continue to go back to that wrecking yard and rub those dents. We go back to those wrecking yards and we start, hi, you guys. I'm sorry, I feel like it's old home week. Welcome back from Florida, or down South Savannah. Yeah, we'll talk to you in a little bit, okay? Yeah, we miss you. Yeah, why don't you stand up so everybody can see you? I know you just walked to the front, but yeah, come on. You see the dent? We look at that and we see the dent that maybe my dad made because he didn't show up to my games. Or maybe the scratch because my mom loved my sister more than me. Probably not. You spend your life stuck. You feel that you can't reach your purpose in life, your so-called destiny, because you hold others responsible for what you called a wrecked life. You return to that wrecking yard often, rub those dents and fill those scratches. Maybe daily, you blame others for your condition. Listen, I used to go to pick and pulls. I used to buy used parts rather than new parts. But if I was to apply this in Christ, even used parts in a wrecking yard isn't what God has for you. It's just somebody else's wrecked life. He wants to give you new parts for your life. He wants to replace those dents and those damages, those offenses that you carry. He wants to fill them in with the putty of love. He wants to get a Holy Ghost paint job on you and cover you new. Why do we go there? Because if we don't have someone else to blame, we have to be responsible for staying in that wrecked condition on us. And we don't want to be responsible. But God is saying, look at yourself today. Quit looking at the reasons that other people may have done to you or the things that other people may have done to you, but look at what you have held on to that's just causing you to become a rust bucket, was causing you not to get up and go further, was causing you to be stuck like a dead battery or a flat tire in life. And God says, I got more for you. Don't go back to the wrecking yard. It isn't new about blaming others. No, it's from the first Bible verses in Genesis. God walks in the garden and he sees Adam, and Adam says, he says, where were you? He said, I was hiding because I was naked. He said, who told you were naked? He said, what have you done? You know what Adam did? He didn't take responsibility. He said, it's this woman you gave me. Isn't that the truth? But don't laugh, ladies, because he went to her and said, what did you do? She said, it was the devil that made me do it. We give our children, all our children, a book when they're adolescents. It was a title called, If the Devil Made You Do It, You Blew It. It was really about taking responsibility. Quit blaming generation curses. Quit blaming, oh, somebody did this to me or somebody did that to me and that's why I'm doing it. No, take responsibility because God's going to hold you accountable, not somebody else. You got a dent in life. You got scratches in your life. God knows how to fix you. And don't go buy used parts. Don't get some second opinion. Get the opinion from the God who created the heavens and the earth. He's the one who fills in your dents. He's the one who gets you back on the road of life. He's the one that shines up, that polishes your life. He's the one who puts good tread underneath you so that you don't have to worry about a blowout down the road. He's the one who fills your tank. Come on, somebody. Yeah, we didn't find a brochure in London to go see their wrecking yard. Hey, listen, I got to tell you, I get it. Sometimes horrible things happen to people without them condoning it. I get that. We live in a sick world. Horrible things. But most of us suffer from the little things, and we make them big. Patty ran into a guy's car one time. Not her fault, but she ran into a guy. I don't think it was her fault. Well, maybe it was her fault. It doesn't matter. Anyway, it's not about whose fault it was. But it had a little scratch. Oh, no, it was a guy ran into you. Had a little scratch on the side, a little boy, 19 years old. And had a scratch right over her little fender. And that boy was so worried, he kept rubbing it, licking his fingers and rubbing it and taking his knee and rubbing it, trying to polish it with his elbow. And Patty said, the kid was such a sweet kid. Sweet kid. She said, well, here's my insurance stuff. And Patty said, okay, thanks. And she came home and said, what should we do? I said, well, why don't we just call the insurance company? She said, the kid was so sweet. She just said, why don't we not contact him? We never contacted the kid or his insurance company. See, that's what Jesus does to you when you make a mistake. He does the same thing. We have a little debt in life. We offend somebody. We bump into them. You know, he says, no, you're my child. No, I know your heart and your heart condition. I'm not going to hold that against you. And Patty and I are not holding that scratch against him. We have so many scratches in our car now, we don't know whose is whose anymore. We're just going to go get a new paint job. We can't afford a new car because I don't get miles for a new car. So we're going to go get a paint job. All right, that's right. But some things do happen, and I get that. And I'm not saying, hey, you don't have a reason to complain, but can't keep complaining. You can't keep going back to that wrecking yard. You can't keep going back and rubbing the damage and bringing it up. No, you got to let God have it. And I want to give you the address to God's body shop. You want an address about God's body shop? Turn to Luke 23:34. This is what Jesus said. He said, whoa, look at that. This stage is dangerous. I almost got a lawsuit there. I'd be suing myself, so I guess that doesn't work. And I know I'm broke. So Jesus said this, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. A lot of people offend you, don't even know you have been offended. They have no idea. My wife came, I'm going to tell a story on my wife today. She came home from a women's group. We had a big church in California. We had a bunch of women there and a guest speaker. And this one lady, she was just kind of one of these ladies that were just, how can I say this kindly? Maybe a little overbearing. Her husband wimped out on her. He didn't have a voice in this life, in her life. And she had a real short bob haircut. And she used to do this all the time with her hair. And Patty was sitting behind her. And Patty came home after that conference that day. She said, oh, I sat beside so-and-so all night day long. She was just doing this, you know. And boy, pretty soon Patty and I are grappling about this girl. We didn't like her, man. We were just slamming her, huh? Man, find every fault in her. And Patty finally realized the Holy Spirit spoke to her. And she said, Paul, I need to apologize to you. I caused you to slander that girl because of my voice about her. And so often, your damage will cause other people to be damaged. Father, they don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. And it wasn't a slander for Jesus. He was being nailed to a cross. He had crowns put on his head. He was whipped, 40 less one. He was a bleeding mess. They're about to stick a sword in his side. Oh, Father, they don't know what they're doing. If he could ask for us to be forgiven for such a large offense, can't we forgive those who scratched our lives? Or knocked a bumper off? Can't we quit going back to that wrecking yard, that total, and move on in new life? Now I'm going to give you another address for him as well. He has a lot of body shops. Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other, forgiving one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive them as the Lord has forgiven you. Wow. That's pretty good body work, don't you think? Yeah, keep talking to me. One more address. Can I give you one more? It's in Ephesians 4:31 and 32. It says, get rid of all bitterness. Get rid of what? Bitterness. I don't like bitter herbs. You know, that's why I don't do that, say that Jewish dinner at Passover. And I'm Jewish. I don't like bitter food. Get rid of the rage and the anger, the brawling and the slander. Help us, Jesus. This sounds like a professional body shop, doesn't it? With every form of malice, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. Wow. If you visit one of those addresses, you'll never go back to the wrecking yard. You don't need a brochure because it's not a place where you want to go. No. Pat and I were really surprised that we couldn't find one thing about the city dump. I know London has a dump. They didn't send us a brochure. They didn't give us an address. People love going to the dump. In reality, I'm going to confess, I like going to the dump. I like kind of kicking through the rubbish. Isn't that awful? Huh? We had a dump in Ruth. It wasn't really a dump, it was a transfer station. Ruth, California is like, it's not quite at the end of the earth, but you can see it from Ruth. And they had a transfer dump, so people just go through their garbage in this dump, in these things, and they come and dump them. And we go down there and look around. Patty found a, what kind of bear was that? A bear, that little stuffed bear? A Paddington bear. She took it home, took the stuffing out of it, washed it up, sewed it back up, and set it on the bed. You know what God said to her, one of the kids' bed? He said, that's what I do to you, Patty. I take you out of the dump, and I clean you up, and I put you on the bed so that you could be viewed by everyone who enters. What a beautiful picture. I used to like going to the dump looking for like old baseball cards or, you know, anything that I thought had some value, only to take it back the next week because I couldn't use it. But I really like going to dumps, but it's really not a good place to go. You might not be aware of this, but it's one of the most visited places by the people in this place and around you. We constantly go back to the dump. It's a place where we dump our garbage. You know, the things like lust and hate, bad habits. You know what I'm talking about. We dump those things there. Stick with me for a moment. How often have we gotten rid of our trash in our life only to find ourselves again going, digging through that rubbish, through that refuge of our past? Maybe because we miss it, or maybe because we can't forgive ourselves. So often as us, even myself, we give up my drugs in the past and then go back to doing it, knowing that stealing and bootlegging was wrong, but yet going back and bootlegging. Knowing in my life that selling cocaine and weed was wrong, but yet I kept going back to it. Cheating on my wife before Christianity. Come on, somebody, don't, you can judge me, but I'm not that man no more. Garbage. Garbage we find ourselves going back to the refuse, going back to the stink. It's like the smell of your trash hasn't repelled you enough to stay out of the heaps of the garbage dump. We got to get a good view of our past. We got to get a view of some of us who we are today. We got to get a good whiff. We got to have a wind change so we smell the stink. Oh, am I saying we're all clean? No, no, we're not. But some things just stink worse than others, don't they? God tells us not to go back to our sin. He's trying to keep us from our sin. He's trying to keep us from running back to that dump, that sewer line, that miry clay, that filth. The guy that found himself in the pig pen, when he went there, the smell didn't bother him. When he kept going back and digging through the rubbish and even devouring some of it, finally, the taste and the smell of it was detestable. And it wasn't until one day he says, hey, I'm thinking about my daddy. I'm thinking about my brother having parties. I'm thinking about the servants my daddy have, all the servants. And I'm in a pigsty fighting for food. In the world, can I tell you, you may not smell it, but my past life stunk and I didn't even know how stinky it was. I pray that the winds would change and the stench of our sins would make us sick. But even then, vomiting. He says some are like dogs that go back to their own vomit. It's not enough. I never went back to my vomit, but I did go back to my sin. He has a remedy for us. He has a dump that you can't get to. He has a transfer bin that he'll dump out and you'll never know where your garbage went. Patty mentioned earlier we were practicing what we're going to say, and she reflected back. I ended up getting 80 coffins one day. Isn't that a weird gift for the church? Somebody donated 80 coffins. I thought, we must have a dead church. So you remember those. They were made for cremation. They weren't made to bury. So if you put somebody in it and try to pick it up, the bottom would fall out. It was weird. But I sold them. I sold them to people for Halloween. I gave them to the city for like a coffer funeral. You know, people don't have money, homeless. I gave them to mortuaries, and they used them for cremation for, you know, the people that didn't have money. But nevertheless, one day I brought one in here on a Sunday morning, and I set it up here on the table, and we had it open. Nobody was in it, thank Jesus. We didn't invite anybody to get in, thank you, Jesus. But I talked about a message about burying the things in your life that you hate. Killing the things that control you. Bitterness, anger, slander, all those things we just read. And during the sermon, we wrote down those things that we wanted out of our life, those things we wanted to bury, and you wrote them on a piece of paper, and you could come up anytime to the service, and you put it in the coffin. And then we had a eulogy at the end. We closed the coffin. We didn't actually bury it. We looked at all your papers and got gossip on you. No, just kidding. No, kidding. We burned all that stuff. But the point was that sometimes you got to let go of stuff. Sometimes you just got to say, I don't want to go back to the dump. So let me give you a little hint about the dump that Jesus has for you and me. And gosh, I've used it. We talked about the dog that returns to his vomit. The answer to staying out of your dump? Oh, I put crap in here. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that word in church. If I offend you or the people at home, I apologize, but I'm just going to read my note. Send your crap so far away, you'll never find it again. There's a thing called the Jesus dumpster. I made that up, but there's a thing in my mind called the Jesus dumpster. You give it to Jesus fully, and you will never find your way back to your personal trash again. It will be removed so far from you that you won't be able to get to it. It says this in Psalms 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, he has removed our transgressions from us. Do you know how far that is? You can't see it. It goes on for eternity. You can't catch it. Put your sin in that trash bin for Jesus to send it off, not into the ocean where it flows back to our beaches in Southern California. No, that's not where we want to send it. No, not to the transfer dump so other people go through your garbage, hello? Because, you know, your garbage stinks to other people too. No, he says, put it in the trash bin where Jesus will take it. Listen, you can't go back if you can't find it, amen? Amen? Amen, amen. Thank you. There's one more place that you're not encouraged to visit. Listen, Patty and I, we're gonna go see so many cool things. We're going to the White Cliffs. Anybody been to England? I've never been to England. Yeah, I wanna go. You look like you came out of England. Yeah, 1964, Abbey Road. Yeah. Man, you always take me back, man. But I'm not going back to the garbage part of life, just the fun part of that. Ty, you got that good look. You got that John Lennon look. But Patty and I, we're gonna go to the White Cliffs on the southern end of the UK. We're gonna go to the palace. We're gonna try to sneak in and stay in the night there, one of those rooms. They have so many rooms, they probably won't even know it. We're good at doing that. Every time we go homeless, we break into buildings to stay there. Yeah, I'm gonna confession. We break into buildings. We are trespassers. There's nobody in them. They're building the building. They're under construction. And we walked right past the security guard. He didn't say anything. Not a word. So we thought it was okay. He was playing games on his phone, but we thought it was okay. But we're going to go see Big Ben. We're going to go London Bridge. We're going to do a whole bunch of stuff. We're going to take tours and listen to people tell us stuff because we don't know much about these things. Patty didn't go with. I went with Hannah and the kids up to Boston and took the Freedom Walk, and we took a tour. I was blown away. I'm a constitutionist. I really thought I knew a lot about our founding fathers. I found out so much. We stood right where the shot around the world was heard. Stood right there where that 13-year-old boy was shot. We went to the tea party and reenacted throwing tea over the ship in the Boston port. It was just fun. And Patty and I are going to London. And I think maybe one of our kids are going to go with us too. That's the plan so far. Can't wait. And I'm glad we're not going to their auto repair shop, what do they call it? They're a junkyard or wrecking yard, and I'm glad we're not going to their, what was the other one? Dump, yeah, the dump, the stinky dump, yeah. But there's one more place that we couldn't find a brochure on, the morgue, the city morgue. Have you ever been to a morgue? That's where the word morbid comes from, I think. It's not cool. It's just about death. And we're all going to die. Most of my relatives are passed. We're all going to die. Dying's not scary. It's just not something we're, you know, lining up for. But it's not a good place to visit, and this is a necessity to make an identification or mourn. In California, we used our church. We had the biggest church and the biggest building and probably the nicest building in the county. And so people almost weekly would use our church for weddings or use it for funerals. And it's amazing how many people don't have a pastor in their life, not even a distant pastor. And so the two mortuaries in our little town would call me and say, "Pastor Paul, these people don't have a pastor. Would you do their service for them?" And I did it for free. I'm not one of those pastors that charge you for weddings or for funerals. So if you're going to die, I'm free if you want a service, okay? And I don't charge you for weddings. I don't charge you for baby dedications or baptisms. I'm your pastor. And I'm here to serve you. But I'm not only to serve you, but your community as well. So they would ask me, and I'd say, "Yeah, but I don't want to be paid." And so I got to meet hundreds of families in mourning, hundreds of strangers that became friends because this strange pastor would go to their house and be inquisitive of their deceased, asking some history and tell me some funny things and any nicknames. And then I would put together a 20-minute service. It's a simple task. But for those that are mourning for the lost, it was one of the biggest blessings of their lives. Not me, but to have somebody say kind things about them and their family. And I always asked them, "Can I give an invitation to come to Christ? Or would you prefer me not to?" And many said not to. But most of them said, "Yes, would you do that?" And so we had hundreds of people come to Jesus through this unlikely ministry. If I go to a morgue or to a funeral home, I want to be on that end of the aisle and not the one laying in the box or the one mourning over the box. I don't know if you've heard this before, but I heard it long ago, and I'm really off track for a moment, but stay with me. It's still about the morgue. Talked about those who love people well. And this husband said, he said to his wife, "I hope you die before me." That kind of sounds offensive. But what he was doing and what he was saying is, "I don't want you to go through that suffering of mourning." That sounds a little arrogant. But the truth was, it was a story of love. "I care for you, and I hope that you don't outlive me." Some of us won't stop mourning. Some of us continue to go back to that morgue, that funeral home, and continue to mourn over and over and over again. We mourn over our past, trying to keep things alive. Things that should have been buried long ago, we keep trying to resurrect. Bad relationships. Kids hating you. Listen, I got some knucklehead kids. I'm going to say this. I don't care if they see it or not. I'm going to say it. I got some knucklehead kids that don't like me. That don't like their mother. That don't like their siblings for the most part. My sister says, "Is everybody coming to your house for Thanksgiving?" I said, "All my children that like me." I'm not chasing them. I sick God the Holy Ghost on them. He's chasing them. I pray for them every day, and sometimes 6, 7, 8 times a day by name. Not just them, but all the kids that bless me as well, and my grandkids by name. That's a long prayer. I got a little time on my hands. I like to be with people that like me. I'm not going to chase those that don't like me. I'm not going to try to resurrect a relationship that doesn't want to be part of the relationship. And at my age, I don't have a lot of years left. Why would I waste it chasing people that don't want to be with me anyway? You say, Pastor Paul, you're a dad. Yes, I am a dad. And I raised my kids well. I have no regrets on how I raised them. I have no regrets. They want to be a knucklehead. This, I was a knucklehead. I know what it's like to be a knucklehead. I'm not talking about the Harley knucklehead that kicks you off when you kick it over. I'm a Harley rider. I'm not talking about that kind of knuckle. I'm talking about guys missing a couple nuts on their head. And if you're watching, children, I love you to death. But I won't tolerate nonsense. And can I say that about you? I love you to death, but I'm not going to tolerate your nonsense. If you want to hang out the graveyard, I'm going to tell you you're in the wrong place. You want to hang out the wrecking, I'm going to tell you, don't go there. Instead of straight, I said a little while ago, some of those wounds that your mommy loved my sister more than me. I don't love any of my kids more than you. And neither does your mama. You know what I like about being hip here with me at my age? I don't care if you like me. I'm just going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm not out to tickle your ear. I'm not out to dance to your song. I'm out to march to the tune of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to march until you find me in that coffin. And I pray that you don't rejoice over my death, but you rejoice I went to heaven. I'm about ready to speak in tongues right now, I'll tell you. I'm not going to start talking in tongues. I don't play that. I mean, I speak in tongues, but I don't do it for show. I do it when the Holy Ghost comes up. But let me say this. There's cultures in preaching. Your conservative white pastors, and then your Pentecostal pastors, and then your black pastors. Right now, I feel like preaching like a black pastor. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Jesus. Come on, somebody. Come on, can we just give God a shout this morning? Can we just give him a shout? God, you are good. You are faithful. You're a truth teller. God. Jesus. Let's go back to that cemetery. Let's go back to mourning over your past and trying to keep things alive. Things that should have been buried a long time ago. Keep them in the grave. Don't be a grave digger. Hey, if you're mourning over unfairness, the world, the unfairness of this world, can I just tell you, deal with it. Deal with it. Some of you are 70, 80 years old, and you're still dealing with your past and moaning over it. Quit being the victim. Stand up. Know who you are in Christ. Know that he's redeemed you. Put his feet, your feet upon his rock. You don't have to go back and be a victim anymore. The morgue that tells you that you are better off than dead. Some of you are suicidal. Somebody's watching, suicidal. And that morgue is trying to tell you you belong here. They whisper that all your value is gone. That's a lie from the pit of hell. That death is your friend. Friend, Christ and life is your friend, not the grave. The book of Ephesians chapter 2 says this, we were once dead in our sin. Yes, we were. But today we are made alive in Christ. If you're made alive in Christ, why do you want to live among the dead? Get out of the sin. The morgue is not for the living. Check this out, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anybody, who? Anybody is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. New car, not a dented up wreck. A garbage can that's cleaned out, not a dirty, stinking pile of garbage. I didn't use that C word that time. You saw that, right? I almost said it. And you don't have to live among the dead. You can live among the living. Can I tell you those things that I confess in my past? I was dead. I was dead in my sins. When I bootlegged and sold dope and cheated on my wife and hurt people and did all those things, I was dead. And I was killing others. The dead like to live with the dead. And if you're living, they want you to join them. Don't let the dead drag you back into your past. Don't let this world drag you back to where you once left. Remember the stench. I know the hair in my nose doesn't hold stench, but I always think, just get a little stuck in there, you know, so I can remember what it was like. I don't know about you. I'm excited about, well, I don't know, you're not going with me, so you're not with me, but I'm excited about going to London with my wife. 73 years old when we go, 73. And we're going to put on some hiking boots, and we're going to go hiking around that place. You know why? Because we still got some life in us. Death isn't holding us back. The grave has no sting. All things have passed away, and all things become new. Oh, death, where's your victory? Oh, death, where's your sting? You about done with me? Well, we're about done. Sometimes I just want to spit. You ever get mad? You just want to spit? I'm not going to spit. He's going, don't do it. He's going, don't do it. I'm not going to spit. I have spit a little bit. When I yell, I spit a little bit. And for those who are visiting us, I didn't greet you this morning. If you're visiting this morning, can I tell you, this is probably not what you expected. You expected to see Pastor Tommy, not some old man up here yelling at you. And I'm sorry for that. I am. And I'm sorry we didn't greet you today. But we're so glad you're here. I just hope you're glad you're here. If Tommy let me preach, he does me preach at a time, so I could preach at a time, so I'm giving him a bad time. I'd probably be a little bit more gentle, but I get months of all built up, you know, and I go to other churches to take it out on them. Be glad. In fact, next week we're going to another church. I'll probably yell at them a little bit. But God is good. He is so good. He's a fixer of our lives. He knows how to fix our debts. He knows how to renew our mind. They don't want to hold on to those things. How to forgive others. And forgive ourselves. I have not had the opportunity to hear your sin. And I have no interest in it. You've put up with me and my sin in my past. But I hope that you don't remember who I was. I hope you remember who I am. And you could say, I know a man that was a throwaway, a nobody who thought he was somebody. And my God, Jesus met him going to Duffy's Saloon to pick up his cocaine money way back in the 70s. He touched me. You know that song? He touched me. I'm sorry, you got to put up with me then. She's not going to sing it. It says, he touched me. He touched me. I don't remember all the lines. And now my life is new, something like that. He wants to touch you. He wants to fix us. Some of you may be dead. Don't even know it. Are you just living life like a car that fenders are falling off of? I don't want you to leave like that. Oh, thanks, son. I have long sleeves, so. But thank you. I don't want to rub my nose with it. So, let me wrap this up. And normally, we don't have a water baptism or anything today, so I'm going to get you out here maybe 10 minutes early. And if you want to hang out at the altars, I'd love to hang out with you. Just want to pray. There's not a coffin up here where you can throw your stuff in, but you can imagine throwing your stuff into something. Maybe it's just people you hold grudges against. Maybe it's people that have wounded you. Or maybe you're asking for forgiveness for people that you may have wounded. You might just say, God, I need you. We sang that song a moment ago, and that might be a good closing song in a little bit. I know we have announcements, and I'm probably going to screw up the whole service. But we're just going to go with the Holy Spirit today, okay? We'll get the announcements in. Is she back there waiting to come up and do them? We'll get them in a few moments, okay? I'm not prophetic in the sense that I'm going to give you a prophetic word, but I'm prophetic in my heart that somebody needed this message today. And God knew that you would be here. And he knew that Benjamin Thomas would be born and Tommy wouldn't be here, and that I would have to fill in. Not that Tommy wouldn't have done this message. Tommy is a harder preacher than I am, but it just so happened it is this way today. Patty came to Christ. She came to that message the first time. I'd been in that church about 2 months and saved, and she came with a friend. My pastor, our pastor at the time, he said, "Message, you're special." Simple message, you're special. God sees you special. And Patty, her testimony is, she says, nobody thought I was special. Not me, her husband, not her daddy, not her, all her boyfriends. I don't say she had a lot, but her boyfriends. Nobody thought she was special, she said. But when she heard that Jesus thought she was special, she couldn't resist him. She couldn't walk out that door without receiving him. And that altar call was much like what we do here. Nobody's looking around. I was only saved 2 months. I thought if I opened my eyes and peeked, I'd go to hell. But when he had that altar call, he says, if you want to accept Christ, raise your hand. I peeked. And I saw my wife, who I'd been separated for 3 years, raise her hand for Jesus. Can I tell you, you're special? You may feel unspecial today. You may feel like a wreck. And I'm being redundant, but I want to drive this home. He doesn't see you a wreck. He sees you whole. He doesn't smell that stench, because the sweet perfume of the Holy Spirit has covered that. Let me pray. You want to stand for me or stand with me? I want you to look at me. I'm going to pray, and I want you to look at me. I won't have anybody, when I ask you to raise your hand, if I do, I won't have anybody look. But right now, I want to speak to you, and I want to look at you. If it's you today that keeps going back to the wrecking yard, I want to ask you, do you want prayer today? Say, Lord, I want to stay out of my past. I trust God to fix my life. If you keep going back to that morgue, or maybe you're suicidal, or you feel that your life has no value today, I got to tell you, there's a place where you can feel value once again. Lastly, that dump. Got a bunch of crap on you, stinking. He wants to give you a new life. Go ahead and close your eyes. If you're here this morning and you fit that category and you just want prayer, I'm not going to have you come forward. I'm not going to do that to you. I'm not going to put you on the spot. I just want to be able to pray with you. And if that's you, just slip your hand up and put it back down. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Oh, gosh. Thank you. Jesus, I see that. He sees it. How about this for the last thing? Maybe you still feel dead because you haven't received life. You haven't received Christ in your heart. Like me, years ago, I was dead, and that's you, and you want to step out of death into life. You want to say, Lord, I'm tired of my life. I want to give it to you, and Lord, I want your life to be in me, and that my life would be transformed and changed. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up this morning. Say, I want to come to Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Who else? Anybody else? Anyone else? Just the one? Two. Thank you. God bless you. I'm not counting to put notch in my Bible. I just want to see that. Thank you. I see that. Thank you. Is there any others before I pray? Yes, I see that. I see that hand back there. Thank you. Thank you. I see that hand. Look at me, all of you. We're going to close in this prayer. We're going to do our announcements, and then if you want to hang out for prayer, I want to pray with you. Five of you or six of you raised your hand for Christ today. Seven of you. In this little church, that's a lot of people. In every service, we have people come to Christ. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? We're going to say a prayer, simple prayer. It's not written in the Bible. It's just biblical concepts and precepts. And then I'm going to let you go home after the announcements. Okay? Say this with me, the whole church. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm tired of the stench. Tired of limping in life. Tired of feeling dead. Come into my life. Make me whole. Take away my sin. Throw it as far as east is from the west. Never be able to find it again. Make me your son and daughter. I believe that you died for me and you rose again, that I could have life for eternity. Amen.
Hey, yo, this is Pastor Tommy. I just want to say thank you for tuning in to our podcast. I hope that sermon encouraged you. I hope that last ending prayer meant something for you. I hope that you are being transformed. I hope you are growing. I hope you're choosing God's dream in your life over your own. Real quick, I just want to encourage you. If you don't have a church, I want you to find a local church. There is something really important in the Bible that says to encourage one another, to do good, to love one another, and not forsake the fellowship. I just want to encourage you. Find a church. If you want to come to the Atlanta Dream Center, or maybe you want to participate by giving, I want you to go to www.atlantadreamcenter.com. On our website, you can find our location, you can give, and you can see what upcoming events are going on. Listen, God bless you. Again, thank you for tuning into our podcast. I hope to see you in church soon. Be blessed.